I'm dead.
East Coast Horror Group.
It's alive!
What's she doing? Just chilling. Just chilling outside.
Presents Dead Eye
Movie Reviews. Kuba Shente and Bailey Double Gujna.
Salutations and mutilations! You're listening to East Coast Horror Group Presents Dead On Movie Reviews. Tonight, we present horror movie reviews and lively debate here on EastCoastHorrorGroup.com and on future Select Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I still like that. You can join our live chat at any time, powered by Facebook Live. We are going Facebook Live tonight. And hope you enjoy all of our great frightening content. That's right. So tonight we are coming to you. I'm Tim Kretschmann, coming to you from the east coast of Lake Michigan. And it's my honor to introduce the Faculty of Fear. And Autumn hasn't joined us just yet, but I'm sure she'll be joining us at any moment, and that means I have no idea. But she did have something prepared for tonight, so I'm sure she's going to make it. But we will introduce who is here, and that includes our friend, Drew Seidler. Hey, Drew, how are you doing?
Hello, Tim. Nice to be here with you the day after Halloween, a little Halloween hangover. We still have 364 more days until the next Halloween. So
now, do they do trick or treating by you, Drew?
They no doubt come to my house.
Okay. And let's also get on the line. We have Coach Michael Exler.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Drew. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Hi, Mike.
Now, do they do trick or treat by you?
They do. They do. Well, I live on a hill, so we got 7 kids. So they didn't want to walk up
really?
Or down it, I guess.
I had a little bit different experience. 350 kids by me.
How many left?
320. 320. I put a limit on myself this year. And I'm pretty proud of myself that I behaved myself. Virtually killed. I killed very few of them. Very few.
It's like 8%. That's not bad at all.
I thought so.
Yeah. I'm proud of you, Tim.
Oh, well, thank you.
Baby steps, Tim. Baby steps.
You know, one step at a time. That is absolutely key to the whole thing.
Rome wasn't built in a day, my friend.
It was not. All right. Well, we're going to start with Drew tonight. Because we got a lot to talk about on tonight's show. So we're going to get things going. And if Autumn joins, you'll know because the show will get just that much cuter at that point. So let's start out with you, Drew. What have you been watching?
Thanks for asking, Tim. I can't wait to talk about it.
Shut up. Fuck you. All right, go ahead.
What?
Hey, I know you're making fun of me, and it hurts my feelings.
I'm not making fun of you at all. I'm just trying to be overly cheesy and fun at the same time.
Oh, that's what I do. That's my act, buddy.
All right, I'll stop it.
Okay, you're the golden voice. We all know that because when you do the panels, all the ladies go, "Oh, I love his voice." The face they could do without, the voice they like.
It's literally never happened.
It does happen all the time.
Never once has
that happened. That has happened every time, but go ahead. They don't like the way you pronounce certain words, like collector, but...
The Brad Dorif.
Dorif. I did call him up, and he said that's how it's pronounced.
Shit. So. Go fuck yourself. Ridiculous.
Ruh-roh.
I am I'm glad you still get a kick out of it.
I do.
It took me like 15 minutes of showtime to pick up on it, too.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder what word Tim is going to mispronounce tonight. Stay tuned, folks.
I'm not going to give you the pleasure this time.
You can't help it, sir.
Would you say I can't help it?
Nope, it's something in your brain. You can't help
it. I think you're right, man. No matter how much medication I take, it's still there. So, on that note, I watched something I was quite excited to see, which was the new Black Mirror episodes on Netflix. As you are all aware, I was a huge fan. Couldn't recommend enough the first 7 episodes of Black Mirror when they came on the Netflix. If you haven't seen those yet, you're going to want to check it out. Tim, you watched them, didn't you?
The first 2 seasons. I haven't seen this season yet. But I'm really looking forward to it.
Did you see the John Hamm episode?
I did. That's a Christmas episode, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's like a special, I don't know exactly what.
But it's like an hour and a half or something. It was like extra long. It's like any anthology show. Some shows are better than others, but frankly, the worst episode of this was better than any episode ever of Freddy's Nightmares. So, and some of the other anthologies that they've shoved down our throats over the years. But overall, the quality has been very high, in my mind, in the first 2 seasons.
Agreed. Michael, did you ever watch them?
No, man. I'm behind on everything.
Mike has never watched Black Mirror.
I'm just getting to Westworld now. I got to watch the first episode probably tomorrow.
I watched the first 2 episodes of Ash vs. the Evil Dead. And my opinion was, it's all right.
It's great. It's amazing.
Drew, let's get back to reviewing Black Mirror, because I got to hear what you think of this.
Oh, all right. So, yeah. Big fan of the first few episodes. So, I'm only going to do the first 3 episodes of the season today, because that's the only ones that I've seen.
Okay.
So, the original, I was reading, and then I got confused. Anyway, Bryce Dallas Howard starts in the first one. She is Ron Howard's daughter. She's also in the newest Jurassic Park movie.
Well, they definitely, from what I saw on IMDb, they went after names now for the series. John Hamm, I think, was the first real name that was on the series.
Everyone else was nameless.
Well, everybody else was an unknown to, at least to American audiences.
So anyway, this first episode is called... Man, what the fuck was it called? Oh, Nosedive. That's right. All right. So basically, Black Mirror, the series, revolves around technology a lot of the time. And this one, I thought maybe was a little too on the nose. I wish it would have been a little more subtle. That's something I liked about the first 2 seasons, is that, yes, technology was the reason or was a vehicle to have these things happen, but it wasn't so in your face about it. This one, I thought, couldn't have been more in your face. Basically, the premise is that kind of the way you're portrayed in real life and the way you can get a car or the way you can get approved for a loan is you have a score based on the daily interactions with other people and an app on their phone. So if you have a good experience, you and I, Tim, which would never happen.
Right.
We would score each other a 5. And dependent on who you're connected to and your social aspect and their popularity, that would give me X amount of points. If you get to 4.5 out of 5, maybe you can get the mansion. If you're at a 2.5, you're living in squalor, basically. So all currency has been kind of replaced by this.
Okay.
So eventually, Dice Brawlers Howard gets invited to a wedding of someone who is a 4.8, which is basically a celebrity. she comes to her wedding. She's going to give a speech as the maid of honor. And with all those people there who would be 4.8s or higher, she would be able to get her score to a point where she could live and work as she pleased. However, as you can tell, it's called Nosedive, and really kind of shows you how really just one bad day could ruin your whole life if that were the reason. So it's interesting. It's interesting to watch her descend into, you know, what really looked kind of like, you know, the Stepford Wives kind of area that she lived in and that she was so comfortable with and had such a routine around, into the mess that, you know, is at the end of that episode. She's a great actress, I think. So it was a pretty good episode.
Fantastic.
All in all, but it was a little heavy-handed, to be honest.
What I like about the first seasons of Black Mirror is it really makes you rethink your use of technology and where technology might be going. And it sounds like they're continuing that theme in this season.
Right. I mean, technology on the first episode of the first season with the pig, that was very much secondary to the rest of it. It was just that, you know, how dangerous it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, second episode is about virtual reality, which was also obviously something that is prevalent now. I think every major console company has come out with a VR, and Steam has come out with one. Everybody has Oculus Rift, right?
Right.
So this episode 2 is called Playtest. And a guy kind of mysteriously leaves his house one day backpack across Europe for reasons you don't really know. And gets his credit card stolen, basically, on his last week there in England. And has to stay with a friend. And has to earn money somehow for a few weeks because they said the embassy is telling him that he can't get it cleared up for a couple of weeks, probably. So he sees something in the paper for a video game tester, and he applies. He gets the job. It's kind of, what it looks like to me is, you know, when you were in college and didn't have any money, you would be like, here, prick me with something for 50 bucks.
What?
I never did that. Where they had like the dog, like the place would be like, you could be in our free experiment for drugs that we're testing. You're gonna either 50-50, you have a placebo or you don't. And they give you like $500.
Man, I didn't know this happens.
Yeah, it's in every college I've ever seen.
This did not happen in my college.
Yeah, this is news to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just. The easy way to go make money is to have someone run a test on you, basically, and that's what he was doing.
Okay.
The weird thing about this is there's actually an injection, so there's like some sort of cohesiveness between your nerves, body, your mind, and the game itself. It does a scan of your head. It's not really what you would think as a VR headwear kind of goggles. Instead, it's way more immersive than that. It's actually your own eyes being told by this implant what to see. And it was he played whack-a-mole on a table without anything actually being there. And he did so good at that, they're like, hey, why don't you try this brand new survival horror game that we're trying out? You won't know what's real from reality, and it's going to mine your brain for the scariest things it can fucking try to do.
Okay. Yeah, that one's terrible.
Yeah. So they basically introduce him to what is, I'm guessing, loosely based on Hideo Kojima, this Japanese prodigy video game developer, and they proceed to do this test on him. And you can imagine what would happen if you had an implant in your mind and it could play a video game that felt just like reality, except it knew exactly what you're afraid of and why.
Right.
So that was pretty good, pretty gory. There was a few Carpenterian parts in there, too.
Fuck that shit.
So, yeah, there was great practical effects, great special effects all around, great acting. Okay. It was another really good episode.
So that's, okay, for those of us scoring at home, 2 good episodes out of 3 so far.
Yikes.
So go ahead.
Yikes. The last one was probably, I'll say, my favorite of the three.
Really? Okay.
It is called Shut Up and Dance.
And this one kind of uses
technology.
Mike, he's not speaking to you. You don't dance right now, Mike.
Yes, I hope you're dancing. I hope you're naked.
I am on both accounts.
Oh, my God. That's a bad thing.
Naked.
That is a terrible.
Mike dancing naked, and it's all around.
Oh,
Mike getting down with the brown. Anyway, sorry about that. Where were we?
Dance party.
Episode 3. Shut up and motherfucking dance. That's it. All right. So I don't know why I felt like saying it that way, but I did.
There you go.
Racist.
Anyway, it feels a little more real because the technology in this episode in particular exists and can very much happen. Basically, it's hackers. Hackers hack into this poor kid's computer, and the backstory to him is he's just very socially fucking awkward. And who isn't socially awkward at 14 fucking years old when you barely know what your dick is supposed to do yet? So he gets caught jerking off from his computer from some hackers, and they blackmail him. And this is so fucked up to him that if it got out, if his parents saw it, if his sister saw it, he was just a weird dude, borderline, maybe spectrum, autism spectrum. Like, this was the worst thing that could have happened to him in his mind. So it's kind of just now based off of messages being texted to him, being emailed to him, saying, you're going to do exactly what we say, or we release this to everybody in your contacts. And just shows how far down the rabbit hole you can get the people he has to get involved with. And something I like of all of these, really, this one in particular, is there is no happy ending to be seen. I don't really want to ruin it for you guys. I left it as vague as possible. Nice. But it reminds me a lot of White Bear. And it's not the same exact kind of twist, but it's always like you think you have it and you never have it. Right, so cool. It's a very good 1 hour game of try, you know, they're always one step ahead of you. Uh-huh. Even when you thought you had it figured out. So
you said this was your favorite of the three, so I'm guessing you like this one as well.
I did.
All right. Well, it kind of sounds like we're at that point where I press this button.
Puppy monkey baby.
Oops.
Puppy monkey baby.
Oops, that's the wrong button.
Puppy monkey baby.
No, maybe that's the right button. I don't know.
Monkey baby.
Kind of sounds
puppy monkey baby.
Puppy monkey. We can edit that out.
Okay, I'm just kidding. There you go. I'm kidding. So, Drew, what did you think of the first three episodes of Black Mirror?
Well, seasons 1 and 2, I think, together would get an A+. This season would get just an A, I think. It just didn't, especially with 15 million merits. It might just be the hype train kind of got me, and when I first saw Black Mirror, I was completely taken aback. I had no idea what it was. Mm-hmm. And that's why I got the reaction that I did originally watching those.
Right.
And I kind of knew what to expect. That's why it didn't affect me as much. I think as far as quality goes, it's equal. So just from that initial shock that I didn't have this time, I gotta give it a little bit of a lower grade, I think.
All right. Fantastic. It's still well worth watching, is what you're saying.
Yep.
It's still very worth watching. It is amazing how we continue to have really high marks for television shows, and the movies that we do typically are not doing as well. Which brings me to Coach Michael Exler. Coach, what have you been watching?
Porno.
Fuck you. I decided to watch John Carpenter Presents Body Bags.
Ooh, I had the Carpenterinian happen on my movie, too.
You did. This is so Carpenterinian, it's Carpenter, so.
What?
Yeah. That needs to go on a t-shirt.
My mind just blew up.
So, apparently this was a TV movie in 1993.
I think this was like on HBO or something. I think I remember this.
I'm thinking it had to be on a cable station like HBO or something because it's rated R. And definitely there was some content that I definitely couldn't see being on, like, ABC or something.
Right.
Was there nudity?
No.
Okay. That's usually what does it. That's usually how you can tell in my experience.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of gore, though. But basically, this is a three mini films. The director, obviously, John Carpenter, directed two of the segments, and Toby Hooper directed the third. It starts off with a very weird-looking John Carpenter. He looks like he's actually a meth head. His teeth are all gnarly, and he's got a weird colored skin color to him, and he just looks bad.
Not to be the devil's advocate, though, that is his face.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I think he might have had dentures in of some sort, too. An appliance. But anyway, he was probably one of the most annoying parts of this film. He sort of played like the Crypt Keeper role, Crypt Keeper-esque. And so he would just intro the movies and do a little song and dance in between. But the first one was Gas Station.
Okay.
So Gas Station was about this girl that had to work at a gas station while she was going to college. So it turns out that there is a serial killer on the loose, and she's got to deal with that.
So she's got to deal with that.
Yep. So she's doing homework, pumping, you know, doing the gas thing, and serial killer is out there. So this, noticing that every person in the film was basically a famous person. Wes Craven got out of a car and came up and bought a pack of cigarettes. David Naughton from American Werewolf in London, he was a guy that came and got gas. And then the one guy from Revenge of the Living Nerds, you remember Robert Carradine?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. He was the lead nerd in Revenge of the Nerds. He was in it as well. So it was just, I guess Carpenter got together and called in a bunch of famous to semi-famous people to be in these. So, yeah, so that segment happened. It was about a serial killer, and I guess a few twists and turns happened, and it's nothing to write home about. I thought it was poorly written, poorly executed. There was nothing that showed that this was anything John Carpenter. It didn't have that Carpenterian feel at all. And it was just, it was kind of pedestrian. It just was horrible. It just wasn't very good. So chapter two, we visit Mr. Stacy Keach, who only Tim will probably know who that is. Tim, do you know who that is?
That's Mike Hammer. He also, here's a piece of trivia, he did the voice role of Rod Serling in the radio series of Twilight Zone that was done, I don't know, about a decade ago or so for BBC. Because he got exiled when he got caught with some cocaine back in the 80s or something on a flight. Or there was something weird that happened with Stacy Keach.
It was weird.
Yeah, I just realized I might be just making that up. I gotta check that
Stacy out. Stacy Keach is a cokehead, maybe. Fuck it, I don't know.
I know it was a drug thing, but I can't remember if he got exiled or what it is. I'm looking it up. I will update you while you continue your... 1984.
Review.
He got chain smoking heart drink. I'll get the details. Cocaine possession. He was arrested in England for cocaine possession.
Fucking Brits.
Bastards.
Blimey fucking bastards.
So chapter two we find out is a little tale called Hair. Stacy is the main character who is a middle-aged man, maybe a little older, and he's got a nice apartment, and he's got a cute girl, but he's losing his hair at a rapid pace, and it's really becoming all that he can think about. He can't eat, he can't sleep, he can't think, because he's just worried about being bald. I guess that's a big deal to him.
Hair club for men, dog?
So he goes to see a sort of a hair club for men place. And the doctor is David Warner, and the nurse is Deborah Harry. So again, more famous people. So they look, get next to this like old ass computer where they put pictures of him up there with different hairstyles, and he lands on long hair, sort of like mine, you know, the luscious locks.
Is that Jesus what you call Christ. Yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he goes for that look. So they put this solution on his head and wrap it up in a bandage, and then he goes home and sleeps, and then when he wakes up, he takes the bandage off, and he has this long, beautiful hair. So he's super excited about this. And then some crazy things ensue, and yeah, you find out there's aliens behind the hair. And
what?
Yeah. Why? Wait, yeah. Wait, you're losing me now. He grows hair, and then there's aliens behind his hair.
Well, yeah, there's...
He has the scalp of an alien? I don't get it.
No, the hair follicles are actually little aliens.
This is complete fucking poppy cock bullshit.
Yeah, the little... They're like little worms.
No.
They go into your skin, and he was actually starting to grow hair out of his face, and... he was seeing like his, he was starting to get sick. So he was looking in the mirror and he could see like this one hair, like moving around at the back of his throat. And he actually cut his hair and his hair would just scream in pain because
what?
Alien things. So he could see them like crawling in and out of his arm. And then his face started to grow like all these strands of hair. So he goes back to the doctor's office and was kind of like, what the fuck is going on with all this? And he was like, hey, we're aliens. We need to feed on your brain. And
of course they do.
And that was essentially the end. And the end was him and Stacey Keach in the office. And I guess they finally got to his brain and ate it all. So he just essentially died in the office because they ate his brain.
Now, was that another John Carpenter or was that the Toby Hooper one?
That was John Carpenter.
Okay, so the next one...
That sounds kind of cool.
Listen, it sounds kind of cool, but it isn't. It's executed poorly.
Well, it's Mike's telling of it that makes it so awesome, right?
Yeah. you guys didn't even believe me that it was a thing. You're like, he's making shit up.
We always think that, though. So the last section of this must have been the one directed by Tobe Hooper.
That's correct. Mr. Hooper directed the third chapter, and that was entitled Eye.
As in, like, eyeball, or as in, like, singular eye?
As in eyeball.
Okay.
So you have another celebrity in this, and that is one Mark Hamill, Skywalker.
He is Luke.
Okay. Luke. So he's the main character, and he is a baseball player who is finally going to make his break out into the big leagues. He's tearing it up in minor leagues, and he actually has an accident, a car accident, where he loses his right eye.
Yikes. Oh, wait, is he going to have it replaced by, like, some criminal or something?
Yeah.
Of course.
He got this eye transplant because he didn't want to lose his career. So they put in an eye, and the body took to the eye right away. There was no rejection or anything, and his vision was well on its way, but it was the off season, so he didn't have anything to do. So he was just kind of chilling around the house, and all of a sudden he started to get really bad headaches all the time. And then he started to see shit through his eye, and he finally couldn't take really what he was seeing anymore, and went to the doctor, and they finally tell him that it was the eye of a serial killer. I forget the guy's name. It doesn't even matter.
Charles Lee Ray.
No, that's Chucky.
Yeah, well, it works for this.
So...
Or would it be Leatherface because it's a Tobe Hooper thing?
That's too... You know, you don't want to put him in a box.
Oh, my God. Here's the thing. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
But I was watching... Oh, what the fuck was I watching? But it's the first time I ever heard the song "Living in a Box" played before in like a real life environment.
Oh, it's in Masters of the Universe.
I want to say it was Carrie for some reason.
It could be.
I'm living in a box.
The official dance party music of Dead On Movie Reviews.
That's right. So, yeah, so now he has an eye of a serial killer, and he's got to deal with that, and he ends up stabbing his eye out with scissors, but he went too far and hit his brain and killed himself.
Well, that happens sometimes.
So, yeah, that was the thing, and then Tom Arnold was at the end. You remember him from the Roseanne days and such.
Oh yeah, yeah. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, True Lies, right? He was the. Right. Yeah. Okay.
And at the end, you find out that John Carpenter is not one of the morgue employees. He's one of the morgue residents. He's actually dead.
Oh wow! A complete shock.
Yeah, it was. I didn't see it coming. So the two actual morgue people come down, and they are Tom Arnold and Tobe Hooper. Little cameo parts, and yeah.
Now has outside of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, has Tobe Hooper ever made a good movie? Other than
Texas Chainsaw 2.
Okay, that's two.
Poltergeist.
Did he make that movie?
Well, the two guys...
They kind of pretended they played along that he mostly directed it.
Yeah.
He wasn't allowed to screw it up.
But I think he's made some other movies.
Oh, Life Force he made. That wasn't... That was bizarre.
It was 9.5 hours long.
Yeah, it was. But it had Matilda May completely naked through a good portion. So that was a plus.
As hard as my dick. She's never anybody I want to see naked is named Matilda.
Watch that. That's about the only thing to watch it for. But yeah, she's a special effect is what she is. It's wonderful. Okay, well, I guess we're at that point. John Carpenterinian's Body Bags. What do you rate it, Mike?
I'm going to have to give it a D.
A D?
A D.
These nuts.
As in delightful?
As in disgusting.
Well, that's good, actually.
I just thought it did not live up to the names that were attached to the film. Even the production value was shitty. 1993 definitely had a huge 80s hangover. It was really bad. It was very dated. But, yeah, it was just not very good at all. And I don't really recommend it to anybody.
All right. Well, then I guess it is time for me. And I have... the movie The Shallows.
It's the new Jaws movie.
Yeah, not exactly. Not exactly, but it's definitely riding on those coattails of a... Yeah, it's a full-on shark film.
God, that movie is fucked.
Jeez. whatever.
Can you play that clip where Drew goes like, ooh?
Which one? That's the question. Let's see. Is it this one?
As hard as my dick.
That the one?
I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 Okay.
Did you hear that?
Down for a good... No.
Oh, you're not soundboard's hearing broke. That's interesting.
Nope, I'm not hearing your boardy sounds.
Huh.
Book me. I'm always down for a good penis fest.
Okay, well, you're not hearing those. Sorry, guys.
Anyway, well, here's the thing. You're not hearing them.
These are things we're going to have to work on. The Shallows. Shallows was made this year. I think it came out during the summer, if I remember correctly. The Shallows is a shark movie. It has a jump scare before even the opening credits. It opens with Blake Lively is kind of a one-person show in this movie, and Blake is looking really, really good.
Who the fuck, Blake Lively?
Well, the director was definitely male, and he realized that he had a special effect there, and it was Blake, and putting her in a string bikini as soon as he possibly could, getting lots of shots of her shape in there. Now, there is some really nice photography early in the movie, kind of showing this is an idyllic like South American place that it's being done in. And it starts, she's a surfer. She changes on the beach and she paddles out there. And at first there's two other guys out there on the waves with her. So during that, it's just like, hey, it's happy times. I'm surfing. Everything's great. And then at one point, the two other guys that are there go away, and she's all alone, and she decides to keep surfing. And this is where you remember that all horror movies are really just morality plays and teaching you a lesson. And the lesson here, kids, is don't surf alone in a foreign country. And what happens almost immediately is a giant shark attacks her. And cuts her up pretty good. She escapes by jumping on top of a whale carcass that is just sitting out there and that the shark has already been chewing on earlier. And the movie from there on kind of becomes like a survival tale. Almost more like that show Frozen, the movie Frozen, with where they're stuck up on the ski lift.
Let it go.
Yeah,
let
it go. Not that Frozen, but the other one. Isn't that what it was called? I think it was called Frozen.
Yeah, Kane Hodder played like the maintenance guy. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. It becomes that movie, except you're on a very small island. And there's a shark just circling the entire time, like it's got nothing better to do. I mean, Blake doesn't even look like she'd be much of a meal.
She's pretty attractive. I'm looking at a
photo. Oh, she's gorgeous. She's absolutely gorgeous. And they use that a lot in the movie to keep you interested in it. It's
so
most,
she's married to Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And I'll be honest, I was watching it, I'm like, ooh, she's eye candy, that's great. She actually isn't a bad actor. I mean, she does a good job, even her obvious physical attributes aside. She's interesting to watch as she's going through this survival tale that's unfolding before you. And it becomes a lot of, you know, like when you're a kid and you play the game where you're jumping from the couch to the chair because the floor has become hot lava. That's
the floor is lava. Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically this movie, except for don't go in the water because immediately the shark is going to eat you. And this shark, it is like waiting. It's just sitting there and saying, go into my belly, you know. Now, the thing is...
What the fuck?
What?
It's supposed to be get in my belly.
I'm sorry.
And then you did all this horrible attack.
I did it terrible.
Get into my belly.
I admit I did that bad. But anyway...
Get into my belly.
What is interesting, what I thought was interesting is we now have the technology to make a really good-looking shark, and they decided to do the less is more thing. You see the dorsal fin, you see the shadow of the shark, you see a lot of that. You're not like, it isn't like Sharknado where they're like, here's a shark, stop being scared of this thing because we're going to show it to you throughout. You know, it's very much suggested this is under the water. The other thing that I like is the shark wasn't the only dangerous thing in the water. There was jellyfish. There was coral that she cuts herself on. So it wasn't just the shark. Kind of like Frozen. In Frozen, it wasn't just the wolves. It was falling from a great height. It was, you know, all these other things. And you thought, because she gets bitten early on, you think she could bleed out here potentially as well. So
she's just chilling on this whale carcass the whole time?
No, she's on the whale carcass. And again, it's kind of like that game, The Floor is Lava. It's like, okay, she's on the whale carcass. Oh, now I'm going to go to this really super small island. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you even see in our slideshow, I got a picture of... from above where she's just hanging out on this island. And then she makes a move to a buoy. There's a buoy there and she makes a move there. And of course, every time she makes this move, she's got to be like, okay, how far away is the shark? Okay, now. And you know, she barely makes it and all this sort of stuff. So it's really, you know how I am with shark movies. I'm going in expecting to absolutely hate them all because of my love for Jaws. And I didn't hate this. I didn't hate it. I thought I had a lot going for it. It does overly rely on jump scares, but kind of based on the subject matter, you almost have to do it that way if you're not going to just show the shark so much. And that's the problem I have with the Sharknados and the Dino Shark and some of this stuff. They show the monster so much you become desensitized to it. It's kind of like any of the Godzilla movies that weren't the first one. It's like you see it so much, you're like, okay, it's just guy in suit. There's, you know, nothing to it. So I thought the movie was adequate. It certainly had good production value, and I'm not just talking about Blake in her swimsuit, but it just good production value throughout. The effects were above average. The acting was above average. You know, the thing is, it's kind of I've seen enough movies kind of like this that... you're like, okay. There's another movie that I think this is very similar to called The Reef, which is not based on the life and times of the man that played Chucky. That would be Brad Dourif. But The Reef is based on like a true story, and there's sharks in that one. That one's okay. This is definitely a better movie. True story. This one I liked a lot more. And I think I'm ready to do my grade. And I am going to grade Les Shallows a B.
I am going to grade The Shallows a B.
That's right. We're giving it a B as in biatch.
As in bitch.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I encourage you guys to check it out. And I see in the chat room our buddy Ben is asking what I thought of Deep Blue Sea. Deep Blue Sea, literally, until this movie came out, was my other favorite shark movie. And for totally different reasons than Jaws. That's just fun, entertaining.
He just really likes LL Cool J.
Deepest, bluest.
LL Cool J, that's his best role, I think, was in that movie. He is so funny in that.
Any Given Sunday?
I haven't seen that yet. He's in that? Okay, I haven't seen that movie. But I love Deep Blue Sea. I think it's a lot of fun. This movie, I don't know that I would call it fun, but it's at least frightening. And
Jackson in it?
Lucy. Yeah, that's the one where Samuel Jackson and Jump Scare that everybody now puts in their YouTubes as most unexpected death, you know. But I like The Shallows. So either you guys see it or no?
No, I stayed in my queue a bunch, but I was always curious. But now I'll watch it because you gave a pretty good review.
Yeah, and it's worth it for watching Blake change on the beach alone. You know, if you stop watching there, you already had a good time at that point.
So you had a good movie for The Booty Report. I forgot about The Booty Report.
What did I have for The Booty Report? Oh, this Blake, yeah, this was. Oh yeah,
yeah.
She was nice.
It's got boobs.
Yeah.
It's a good booty.
Yeah, it was.
Drew Sadler is not in any way affiliated with this Booty Report.
We're going to have to make, I'm going to need to make a special video sting for that. I also need to make a spoiler alert. I got a lot of work to do for this Facebook Live stuff. I admit that. But we're going to keep working on it every week, and we're going to make it better and better all the time. So, now we're at the end of the show where we do our hyping. And that's right. It's time to hype. And I think, should I start with Drew or Mike? What do you want to talk first? The website or From Dusk Till Con?
I think Drew should go first.
Okay.
Okay, Drew is going to tell us about From Dusk Till Con Radio.
Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, From Dusk Till Con Radio, with your hosts, myself and Mike, as we are every Thursday, talk about the new Walking Dead, talk a little bit more about the new Black Mirror episodes, talk about American Horror Story, all the fun of horror happenings around the world, and maybe what we did on Halloween, we'll get into a little bit of that.
Fantastic. Sounds like a great show, like you bring to us every week here on EastCoastHorrorGroup.com. Mike, you want to tell us what's going on in the website? And I'll throw the website right up on our screen here. And actually, our live show's on the top there, but what else have you got here?
It looks like a panel. What did I just release?
You put Hellbound Hellraiser 2 panel from Louisville.
Definitely want to check that one out. That was a cool one with Imogen. She's not at a lot of cons, so that was cool to hear from her. Then we got some episodes up there of this show and our other show from Dusk Till Con Radio.
Yeah.
And we'll be putting out probably the Nightmare on Elm Street ladies panel and a few others from Louisville. And there's new content every other day almost on during the week. So definitely come to EastCoastHorrorGroup.com and check it out.
Absolutely. There's always something going on the webpage, and everybody should check it out as often as they physically can. All right. Do we have all of our bases covered? Of course, check us out at EastCoastHorrorGroup.com. The next Dead On Movie Reviews is on November 15th. There is an event out there on Facebook. Hey, if you want to make sure you get every time an event that invites you to our next show, just contact me on Facebook or our different pages that we have out on Facebook, and I will add you to the guest list when we put out our events. So let us come to you. That's what we'll do for you. Hope you all had a safe and fun Halloween. I can't wait to hear you guys talk more about that in your upcoming show. And I didn't write a special ending, so I'll use one of the old ones here. So, until next month, or no, not next month, in 2 weeks, until November 15th, despair.
Select Tuesday.
For all hope is gone, but the East Coast Horror Group just keeps coming. or how about turn up the radio and turn down the lights because it makes Drew look better. How's that? Is that better or no?
Is he saying stuff?
Yes.
You're not hearing me at all, are you?
No, I can't hear you anymore, Tim.
I don't know why. We're going to need to work on that. How about now? Do you hear me now?
It's like coming in and out.
Yeah, that's
true. Okay, we're working on that. That's something we're working on. Folks, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Have a great evening.